Please be seated. The title of our message this morning is The Value of Diligence. The Value of Diligence. The text from which we would set our thoughts before you was read in your hearing once, and I'd like to share it with you again. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know what will prosper, which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and reproaches and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Before I give you a proposition for the message today, I'd like to remind you that Ecclesiastes is human wisdom. The smartest man on the earth, King Solomon, after a life of pleasure, we'll say, for lack of a better term, when he came to the end of his life, he wanted to see if there was anything that he could conjure up in his own mind that would equate or equal to lasting pleasure in the earth. And his conclusion was, all is vanity. Now he says in our text today that we ought to be diligent in everything that we do. And I hope to be able to point that out to you. Almighty God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus was diligent during his earthly ministry to do the will of the Father. In fact, when he was 12 years old, he told his mother, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And when we go through the gospel accounts, we see that Jesus was purposefully heading for Calvary. He was diligent in going to Calvary, and we have been looking at the mock trial of Jesus and his condemnation in our Sunday school in John chapter 18. And we see that everything about this trial of Jesus was illegal, both from the Jewish perspective and from the Roman perspective. Totally illegal. But yet, it pleased God to bruise him for us. Now, God gave the best for us, so we should be willing to give the best for him. Diligence means hard work, working hard. It means being industrious. It means being conscientious. It means to cast aside all negligence. And if we would do this, we would find that God would prosper us in what we're doing. If we did everything as unto the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that it's easy to do that. It's hard. But with God's help, we can do it, because Paul reminds us that through Christ, I can do all things. I want to share with you a few of the biblical examples of diligence in walking with God. Now, we walk with God whether we know it or not. Whether you are conscious of it or not, God is everywhere all the time, and you're walking with God. And there's no getting away from it. Abel walked with God. Now, Abel was obedient to God and did what God directed him to do, and he got killed for it. So you need to know that what Jesus said, that in the world you shall have tribulation. So if you start to walk with God, you're going to have tribulation, and you may even get killed for it. There are many people around the world who are being killed because they simply because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the, I think, most popular books that any Christian has ever written is the book entitled Fox's Book of Martyrs. And there's a new edition of Fox's Book of Martyrs out now that talks about some of the Christian persecutions that happened after the original book was written. People are still being persecuted for their faith in Christ. And because we have a measure of freedom in this country, we should not take it for granted, because the country is turning secular day by day, more and more secular day by day. And it is possible for some of you in your lifetimes to see Christians being persecuted in this country. And right now we have people in high places who think it's an abomination to speak the truth as it is contained in God's word. Right now. Abel walked with God and his brother killed him. We have the example in Genesis 5 of Enoch, who was Methuselah's father, and Methuselah was the longest liver on earth. He lived for 969 years. But after Enoch begot Methuselah, it is said that he walked with God for 300 years. That's amazing. And because he walked with God 300 years, God spared him the experience of death. He didn't die. God translated him. The same thing happened with Noah. Noah walked with God. He built the ark. He was diligent in preaching the gospel while he was building the ark. And he saved himself and his family. Now, the value of diligence may be seen in the New Testament in a couple of verses that I want to share with you. One is Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Be diligent. Be steadfast. Be purposeful in the things that you do for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no captain, no ruler, overseer or ruler. She provides her supplies in the summer so that she can eat in the winter. Isn't that great? The lowly ant you are to look at and see in that ant diligence. Now, I think that probably the most amazing illustration in the scriptures of someone who walked with God and was diligent would be Abraham. Abraham was extremely diligent in pursuing the commandments of God and doing what God told him to do. God told him to leave his family, his heritage, his father's house, and go to a land that God would show him. He didn't know where he was going, but God told him to go, and he went. But God told him before he went, in you, all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. And that's what happened. But Abraham didn't have a child. And he knew that the Abrahamic covenant included seed. And how am I going to be the father of many nations if I don't have a child? So he and his wife tried to help God out a little bit. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. God don't need your help. There's some preachers that preach that, you know, God can't do anything unless you let him do it and all of that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is sovereign over you and over your every move. And you will not do anything contrary to the word and will of God. God is absolutely in charge of all of us. Now, I know that that's not a popular message today. I know that. But it's the truth. And like Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Well, I just laid some truth on you. God is big boss in charge of everything, including you and me. So you may think that you're doing something, but the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, if the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, what about your heart and mine? No problem. Abraham did have a child. God came and announced that that Sarah was going to have a child. Sarah laughed. And in that text, you see that the words, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham was 100 when she conceived Isaac. And when Isaac was about 17 years old, God told Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac. And he was willing to do it because God commanded him to do it. He believed that he could sacrifice Isaac and God could still fulfill his promise. That's amazing. But not only that, he gave Abraham circumcision. And this circumcision was not a very pleasant thing, but Abraham did it. Everybody in his house was to be circumcised, and he did it. Now, in our text today, and Solomon is coming to the end of his thoughts on whether or not a person can find any lasting pleasure or any real value in this life. And he concludes that we should be diligent in all that we do. Cast your bread upon the waters. Now, when we look at the text, and one of the things that I'm giving some consideration to doing this evening is sharing with our Bible study some points on Bible study. We're going to have a Bible study at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to be sharing some things about Bible study. Many people are discouraged when they pick up the Bible and start to read it because it doesn't seem to make much sense. Well, the reason that it doesn't make much sense to a lot of people is because it's a spiritual book. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the first thing you need to do if you're going to benefit by the revealed word of God is to come to God in humility, recognizing that you're a sinner. There's nothing that you can do about your sinful condition except to cry out to Jesus to have mercy on your soul. Now, after you do that, you start to read the Bible and it starts to make a little more sense. But there's still some things that you need to know about Bible study that really makes it come alive and it makes it very interesting. And you just revel in it and you rejoice in it when you come to know what it is that God is saying. God can say so much in a few words, just a few little words. For example, Jesus says in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Those simple words. Have you ever thought about what that means? Beloved, if it were not for the sustaining power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you couldn't have gotten out of bed this morning. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. You get that when you start to study the Bible, you know, it just really comes alive to you. Now, as Solomon says here, cast your bread upon the waters. Obviously, he's not talking about casting bread on the water, physical bread on physical water. Because he says, you will find it after many days. Well, you're not going to find the bread after many days if you put physical bread on the water. What he's saying is that we should be diligent in doing what God would have us do. Be diligent. Be open-handed. Be giving. Because the text goes on to say, give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Give a serving to seven or even to eight. Give. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give into your bosom. Beloved, the problem that we have is that we're sinners by nature. And the manifestation of sin in our persons is selfishness. We don't want to give. We want to keep it. But beloved, you can't get anything in a closed hand. Nothing. If you're going to get something in your hand, you got to open it up. And this is what Solomon is concluding here. Give a serving to seven, also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. What did the unjust steward do? The unjust steward, when his master called for an accounting, he went out and he found other people who owed the master money, and he said, now you take your pen and you reduce your note. He was giving. He was a wise steward, because if you are kind to people and if you give, when you get down, people will be willing to give to you. Cast your bread upon the waters. It will return unto you after many days. So this is what the psalmist is concluding here. Sow your seed generously with diligence. Cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, you may discover that God has used it to bless the hungry. God may have used it to do mighty things, things that you would not even think about doing with what you give. Be open-handed, giving seven or eight what they need. Now, there are some things that we do know, but there are some things that we do not know. The clouds give rain, and when the clouds get full of water, they give rain on the earth, and God is merciful because it rains on the field of the just man and on the unjust. He's merciful. The rain falls. We know that. He talks about a tree falling in the woods. Well, if a tree falls to the north, where it falls, there it will lay. If it falls to the south, that we know that. But then there's some things that we don't know. We don't know how the bones are formed in the womb of a woman who is with child. We don't know how that happens. One of the things that I thought about last week as I was considering this text, and I've been looking at it for a week, and I will share this with you. It's very beneficial to look at God's word over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. You can't look at it too much. This is one of the points that I teach in Bible study. Observation. What does it say? Observation, what does it say? It means what it says, but what does it say? Really, what does it say? There are many people who are fouled up in their thinking about what the Bible said because they're listening to somebody else. I'll give you an example, a classic example. God sees every bird that falls to the ground. Now, most people believe that that's a biblical truth, but it's not. The Bible doesn't say that God sees every bird that falls to the ground. The Bible says not a bird falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. So what that is saying, what the Bible is teaching is that God causes the bird to fall. Of course, he sees it, but he causes the bird to fall. But people don't know that because they don't study the scriptures. Clouds give rain and trees fall and, you know, these things we know. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Gasoline may be $7 a gallon tomorrow. Hey, well, you know, it's already four. Well, we just don't know. At its best, life on earth is short. 70 are not many years. If by reason of strength 80, life has so many uncertainties, it's really foolish not to trust in God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Foolish. And we can see some of the foolishness being worked out in our culture today, in our society today. We're spending billions of dollars trying to find out if there's life on some other planet. Billions of dollars. Wouldn't it make more sense to take that money and make life a little more pleasant here on earth for people who are impoverished? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it make more sense to take that money and maybe supplement the oil companies and get the price of gas down so people wouldn't have to make a choice between food and gasoline? I just read an article yesterday saying that the fuel oil is going to cost about $4.75 a gallon next winter. And some people heat their homes with fuel. So, you know, what are the companies thinking about? What is the government thinking about letting this happen? $4.75 for a gallon of fuel oil in your tank to keep your furnace running so that you can stay warm in the wintertime. It's just ridiculous. Really ridiculous. Especially when we're spending $12 billion a month in a war that we don't need to be fighting in the first place. You don't know, so it's really foolish not to trust in the living God. And likewise, we don't know the works of God. We don't know who God is going to save, when he's going to save them, how he's going to save them, but we do know that God is going to save everyone that he intends to save. We know that. Now, the Bible tells us that God created all things in this cosmos. Everything that in the creation is created for the glory of God. The reason you exist, beloved, now, I don't know whether you've been told this before or not, but the reason you exist is to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God and be diligent in it. That's what the Bible is telling us. Now, I'm not into the popular thing because there's some of you that probably don't want to hear this. God has a plan for your life. And that plan is going to be worked out, and you're going to work it out. But it's God's plan. God is sovereign over everything. One of the emphases of this ministry, and one of the things that I have tried to teach, and I try to include it in my preaching, the problems in Christianity today, the problems in the church today, And the problem in most people's lives today is that they do not understand the sovereignty of God. We live in a democracy, and democracy is not conducive to a thorough understanding of the sovereignty of God. God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's nothing you can do about it. Your vote don't mean a thing. Because we don't know what will prosper and what won't prosper, we should be diligent in all that we do, trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You believe that? Do you really believe that? Can you trust the Lord when you're really down and out? Do you trust the Lord when you don't have the money to call the oil man to fill up your oil tank? When you don't have the money to put the gas in your car? When you don't have the money to put the food on your table that you would like to put on your table? Are you really trusting the Lord then? Or do you just trust the Lord when everything's fine? Well, you know, it's easy to trust the Lord when everything's going fine, but what about when things are not going well? One of the things that I'll share with you again, and I know I've shared this with you a number of times, in the years that the Lord has allowed me to be in the ministry, I've ministered to a lot of people dying. Believers die easy. Unbelievers die very hard. And this is something that Solomon is speaking to in our text today. God will soon bring everything into judgment. Now, God is going to judge everyone for everything that they're doing. And if you want to escape the judgment, you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Because Jesus stood the judgment for everyone who will put their faith and trust in Him. And this is what justification is all about. We're justified before God because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come before the judgment throne, you're going to be declared guilty. Because you are guilty. We're all guilty. But those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus, the penalty for our guilt has already been paid. And Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And that's what He meant. It's finished. Now, no matter how good your life is, that is the light, remember the days of darkness are coming. This is what Solomon is saying. Solomon is saying, and he's talking to the young people here, especially, while you are young, you need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, we have several young people in here. Some of you are nodding. Some of you are ready to go to sleep. Now, what is that preacher talking about? He don't know what he's talking about. Well, what I'm trying to talk about here is the Word of God. And the Word of God says that you ought to consider in your youth your relationship with Almighty God. You should do that. And if you would do that in your youth, you would be spared many harmful and hurtful sins. Many adults that I've talked to about this, including yours truly, regret that we did not know the Lord when we were younger. That's one of my regrets in life. I know God is sovereign, and I know God saved me. When He got ready to save me, I know all of that, but looking at it from a human perspective, I wish that I had known the Lord and the commandments and the things that God requires of His people when I was a younger man. And this is what is being said in our text today. We shouldn't, you know, Solomon says that you should enjoy your youth and rejoice in it and all of that. And do whatever your flesh wants you to do and your eyes see. But that's human wisdom. That's not divine wisdom. God says in his word, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away with the lust thereof. For he who does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. Now, Israel had tassels on their garments to remind them of the commandments of God. Now, I shared this with you last week. Let me share it with you again. Maybe someone who didn't hear it last week or wasn't here last week will take hold of this and test it to see if it's true. All of the commandments of God are good for you and me. Not a single commandment that God gives us is not good for us. They're all good for us. Now, since they're all good for us, and since Israel, God's people, had to have tassels on their garments to remind them of the Ten Commandments, we ought to be reminded of the Ten Commandments. And this is why we read them every first Sunday in this church. Now, there's some churches and some people that have never heard the Ten Commandments. In fact, this is an incident I'll share with you again. I witnessed to a young lady, and this was many years ago, about 20, 25 years ago. I witnessed a young lady in the street who was living with her boyfriend, and I told her that she was living in sin. Now, this young lady was about 22, 23 years old, had been raised in the church. She'd been in church all her life and was a regular church goer. And I told her that sex outside of marriage was sinful. She said to me, how do you know that? That was her response. How do you know that? So I said, well, have you ever heard the Ten Commandments? She said, no. And I said, well, you know, God says that you shall not commit adultery. That's God's judgment. It's not my judgment. And that's what it says in the Ten Commandments in the Bible. You believe the Bible? I said, yeah, but I don't believe that. Beloved, when you witness in the streets, you hear a lot of stuff, you know. how can a woman, 22, 23 years old, spend her life in church and not know that sex outside of marriage is sinful? How can that happen? Well, it happens because the church today preaches what people want to hear instead of the truth. They don't want to hear that because there are a lot of members in the churches today who are living with partners to whom they're not married. And they don't want the preacher saying anything about that. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about abortion because a woman ought to have the right to choose. Well, yes, I agree. A woman ought to have the right to choose to say no. We make a covenant with our eyes. We need to make a covenant with our flesh. We need to know that the commandments are all good for us. And we need to know also that the Word of God is good for us. There isn't anything in the Word of God that's not good for us. And we need to know especially the difference between a book like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. There's a sharp contrast between these books. But even in Solomon's earthly wisdom trying to discover if he could find pleasure, a lasting pleasure, or purpose in life apart from a relationship with Almighty God, he comes up with a lot of things that are true. He says here, rejoice, young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. You can do your own thing and walk in your own way and enjoy the pleasures of life, and there's pleasure in sin for a season, but you need to know that God is going to bring you into judgment for all of these things. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Well, I don't think childhood and youth are necessarily vanity if the children and the young people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essential thing. Death for all of us is not far off. And we need to know it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Be diligent in all that you do, for diligence is good for you and is pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the message that we heard this morning from Ecclesiastes. And we do pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace that we need to walk uprightly before you from day to day and be diligent in all of the things that we do to your honor and to your glory. For we are reminded of the words of Paul, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So help us, Lord, to be obedient to that charge and receive our worship today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.